Hi, today's April 14th, 2018. This is Comics News Podcast number 97. I'm Tyler Gossard with my good friend Jay Stone, and today we're going to talk about the new Sci-Fi Channel TV show Krypton. I don't know, what are they at, like episode 4 now?
Something like that, Jay? Yeah, they're in episode
4. I've only seen the first two episodes, but don't worry about spoilers. I guess that should be us telling people if you haven't seen the series, spoilers ahoy.
Well, I haven't made it to the 4.
Okay.
So I'm like on the, you're like, you made it to number 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like at the same
thing. Okay, yeah. So no spoilers to each other, but spoilers if you haven't watched the series. So just to set it up, it is a prequel to Superman. It is set like 200 Earth years prior to Superman being born on Krypton. It's the story of his grandfather. And you might say, whoa, my grandfather wasn't alive 200 years ago. Yeah, Kryptonians live a long time. So their generations are much longer than ours.
They talk about that in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they live a long time. Although I don't know if their years are the same as our years, but anyway, his grandfather is 200 years in our past, apparently. So, on the other hand, you know, Superman himself, right? There's, depending which continuity you read, you know, his ship went through a time warp and all kinds of stuff. So, even though he was a baby when he left and a baby when he arrived, you know, he actually spent perhaps many years in transit before actually arriving on Earth. Again, depends on which continuity you...
Depends on the continuity. It depends on what continuity... in some of the comics, he's immortal.
Yeah. Superman 1 million.
He lives forever.
Yeah. And Jay has a hard out, so I don't want to delay this too much more. But one of my favorite weird stories about Superman's continuity is there is an in-continuity story, or it was an in-continuity pre-crisis story, about how Superman's ship that left Krypton, you know, as a baby, landed on a different world in another dimension. And he grew up in that dimension and became an adult and had a family. And there was some kind of world war, and his son or grandson wanted him to live. So he de-aged the grandfathered age. Superman made him a baby, put him back in his ship, and sent him back into the warp.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this one.
Yeah, it was a one-shot issue. It's in continuity, I think. Or was in continuity pre-crisis, you know, back in like the 70s or something. And it was a fun story.
I would have liked to have read that. That sounds interesting.
I'll go find it. I may still have it somewhere. Anyway, so Krypton, the TV series on Sci-Fi, 60% Rotten Tomatoes rating, but 81% audience. Jay, where do you stand on it so far?
I'm higher than 60.
Me too.
Lower than 80. I'm not with the audience, but I'm not with the critics. I'm between the two.
Okay, so let's call it 70 for you.
Yeah.
More or less.
Just average it. Yeah. Average it for me.
I'm probably closer to the general public. I'm willing to give it, say, 80%.
Okay.
I really like it, and one of the reasons I like it is because unlike the Netflix Marvel TV series, its pacing is pretty good. You know, they kind of get to the point in the first episode. And even...
Someone dies in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, let's get this thing moving.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that even though there are dark, you know, it's got kind of a Blade Runner-ish feel to it.
Even though it's...
A lot of it is in the darkness and in alleys and stuff. It's not so dark I can't see anything.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
So I appreciate that. I mean, heck, I don't know. Maybe because I'm older, I don't know. But I just can't see stuff in the Netflix Marvel TV series, as I've complained many times. Anyway, I really like the way that it's progressing thus far. But I got to tell you, even though it's a prequel to Superman, the real reason I watch it is I wanted to see what the heck Adam Strange is doing there. How about you?
Yes, Adam Strange brought me in. But then I also liked the John Byrne World of Krypton series when he rebooted Superman. That was probably one of my favorite series. I still have that one. And there was a special issue because I just went to Other Realms.
Yeah.
You can actually get that first issue, World of Krypton, for free.
Whoa.
They had I think it was to promote. It doesn't have the cover. The cover looks like the Krypton TV show.
Right, right, right.
But it's free. And I was talking to the guy, hey, they made this free. Yeah, because of the new show.
Wow.
So you can get a reprint of the first issue of World of Krypton.
Right.
Yeah. So... I was a big. I really wanted to. Adam Strange is, for me, puts it over the top. You know,
Yeah, but absolutely. Yeah, even if he's not in his red and white costume.
I hope he does, though.
Or something like it, right?
I want him to be in his spacesuit. I want his ray gun. I want his fin head.
Yeah, absolutely. Fin on the head. Got to have that.
I want the fin head. I want the jetpack.
Yep.
And in the comic books, right, the more recent ones in Justice League, the Mark Waid version.
Okay.
When Grant Morrison started writing it, they made Adam Strange like super smart, like very, very clever and super. Yeah. And
well, he was never stupid. I mean, he was always a pretty clever character.
Yeah, but that's what I want to see. I want to because he's a regular Earthman, like Batman,
right?
And he just has gadgets, like Batman, and he's just smart.
Yeah,
and that's one cool thing about Adam Strange. He's not like Captain Comet, who's like a mutant, and he's not like all these other. He doesn't really have superpowers. He's really smart, and he has gadgets, which I like.
And in fact, you know, it's been a while since I read his, you know, the pre-crisis stuff, anyway. But my recollection, he was kind of like Indiana Jones. He was an archaeologist, and he was out in the wild somewhere in South America or Central America, and the Zeta Beam hit him. Yeah. And he was an adventurer.
Yes, he was.
An academic adventurer.
They were all adventurers, like Sea Devils.
And
Challengers of the Unknown.
Yeah.
And then they talk about that in one of the first or second episode. Second episode? He talks about archaeology.
Okay. So it's in line with the pre-crisis continuity, at least. And yeah, for the life of me, I can't remember what happened, post-crisis.
They kind of messed it up. They messed it up for a long time, and then they got it. And then when Mark Waid took over Justice League a long time ago, they rebooted it.
Right.
So it was good, or retconned it, I should say.
Right. Well, anyway, I am enjoying it so far. Couple of interesting things. It's set in Kandor, which is becomes the bottled city that Brainiac steals from the planet and takes with him. And Superman eventually takes from Brainiac, but is not able to enlarge it for many, many decades, at least in comic book time. So that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I found interesting is that because it's in Kandor, I wonder if we'll see Van Zee's ancestor. And you know, for those who remember, Van Zee was a lookalike for Superman. Looks exactly like him. Z is Z-E-E, by the way. And he becomes the first Nightwing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Van Zee, and I don't remember the guy who does it with him. He's Flamebird.
Yeah, Flamebird, which was originally Jimmy Olsen.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. There are two Flamebirds. One is a Kryptonian, but the first one, I believe, was Jimmy Olsen.
I remember the second one, not the first one.
Yeah. My recollection is Jimmy Olsen somehow gets into the bottled city of Kandor, and, where Kryptonians are not powered, and there are some crimes or something to be solved, so he teams up with Van Zee and basically becomes the Batman and Robin of Kandor.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
And the true inspiration for the Dick Grayson Nightwing.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, no, nobody remembers that anymore.
Nah.
Yeah. Now, the House of Zod. I wanted to ask your opinion about that. So the House of Zod shows up, presumably the ancestors of General Zod.
And in the new continuity, I don't know about the old one, but Zod is supposed to be Kandorian.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently, because the House of Zod's in Kandor.
Yeah.
So, it's hard to figure out. You know, I mean, they're a warrior class. Okay, I get it. Zod's a warrior. I get it. Zod's evil. I can't quite decide what about the mom character. Zod character, who's this really hardcore warrior trainer type person, and her daughter, who has a romantic relationship with Seg-El, Superman's grandfather. So, I mean, to the best of my knowledge, the House of Zod and House of El are not related by marriage, so I assume this doesn't pan out.
No, it can't.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't. It wouldn't make any sense.
No, I mean, for a whole bunch of reasons. And even the House of Vex, so the arranged marriage thing. So I looked up Vex because I couldn't remember the House of Vex. And there is a war criminal named Kar Vex, a female character, who's an ally of, I spelled ally wrong, an ally of General Zod. So everybody Seg-El has run into is a future enemy for Superman, which is not so good.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah. Anyway, so your thoughts about House of Zod and Vex, and which I find
familiar with House of X.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't remember. I had to look it up because I didn't remember it at all.
But the House of Zod, what I thought was interesting is they made them women.
Yeah.
Because they seem more like, who was Zod's, Feyora.
Yeah.
They make them, they, right? So, right. So it's going to be interesting if they can, if Zod ends up still being a woman in the future.
I mean, General Zod?
Yeah, General Zod.
Yeah, you really don't see men in the House of Zod, do you? That's kind of weird.
They're all, like,
yeah, they're all warrior women, right? Like Wakanda. They're
warrior women, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the mom.
Yeah.
The mom.
Who's first
Primus Zod.
Right.
She's called Primus Zod by the daughter in the episode I saw.
I thought that was a title, not a name.
Yeah, I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
But it's too long. It seems too long to be a Kryptonian name.
Right.
So I think you're right. I think it's a title.
Right. Usually it's a single
She was an Amazon and Wonder Woman.
Oh, really?
She was one of the senators.
Oh, so she's kind of typecast.
that actress. I remember her.
Yeah.
I remember her voice and her look. Uh-huh. She was a good actress, you know. But the super militancy,
right,
is kind of like the current version of Zod and where he comes from.
Yes,
in the comics, like the super militant military guild. They just think they're very aggressive. They're warlike.
Right.
So that's kind of in line with what the more recent continuity.
Yeah. So the next character I'm kind of curious about is the weird looking voice of Rao.
Yeah.
So is that Brainiac?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, because Brainiac's shown in the ship.
Yeah, he's shown in the ship.
Yeah.
And you know he's coming to. So I don't know who. I couldn't tell a voice if Rao was a man or a woman.
Right.
The voice kind of sounds masculine, but I still can't tell.
Right.
And it's kind of weird because, like, the Superman's homeworld was supposed to be more like a technocracy instead of theocracy.
Right.
You know.
Although they do have a lot of sun symbols, and Rao is the name of the sun, and, you know, like, Sol is the name of our sun, and some, you know, whatever.
Is that from Supergirl?
What's that,
Because in Supergirl, Rao? Right, they had those, those followers of Rao, right?
Yeah, the TV shows. The TV show, rather.
The Supergirl on CW, right?
Right.
And are they trying to tie the two together? I know they're supposed to be different continuity, but there's kind of like a weird cult around Rao.
Right.
In the Supergirl series.
Yes. And you got to believe they're somehow related, don't you?
I think so. I mean, it seems like even though they're supposed to be separate universes right now,
right,
that there's some kind of allusion to that Rao cult,
right?
In Supergirl.
Well, I'm really curious about who Rao turns out to be, or even if they reveal it in season one, because of that weird mask, which is kind of like a three-faced mask or something like that.
Ooh. Well, it's like six-faced.
Multiple faces. And you wonder if that's merely symbolic, or is there a critter under there with multiple faces? You know.
I hope so. Actually, I would. That would make it more of an 80% for me.
Yeah.
If they take off the helmet, and you find that guy, that character has multiple faces.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you aren't from around here, are you?
And then you find out that he's actually an alien.
Right.
He's not Kryptonian.
Right.
So I've already written the finale.
Right. And, of course, the whole weird premise about the TV show, which I kind of found weird even in the comic books, is for a super advanced society, Krypton doesn't have any space travel at all.
No, but you know what? John Byrne explained that.
Oh?
He rebooted it.
Oh?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I was really into the whole John Byrne
reboot,
yep. Right, back in Man of Steel.
Right.
So what he explained is that they were genetically, Kryptonians were genetically tied to Krypton.
Oh, I kind of remember that now.
And if they ever left, they would die.
Right.
So they had this prophet who wasn't a Kryptonian who got them to leave, and they all died.
Right.
And that Kal-El, Superman, was the first child of Krypton that didn't have that genetic abnormality.
Right. He was genetically a modified organism. He was a GMO.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a GMO who could actually survive leaving Krypton. So they eschewed. That part is kind of more of what's in the comics. Like they don't believe in traveling to the stars. They don't believe in in other races. They believe that they're the ultimate race in the universe and that right. kind of thing.
But the problem is, even, well, I guess it depends how, you know, what continuity they follow. But in various continuities, it doesn't explain then how all the people in Kandor could leave the planet in a bottled city, nor yeah. how Supergirl's Argo City could be, you know, blown out into space as a domed city. And unless, you know, the land under the dome was sufficient for their survival, which I guess, you know, I can buy.
Yeah, but you got to remember the John Byrne reboot.
Yeah, it changed a lot.
It changed a lot. There was only one. There was no Supergirl. There was no yeah. Superboy.
Yeah.
But and Ma that's Pa, how...
And Ma and Pa yeah. Kent are still alive.
Yeah. So it changed a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, we won't dwell on that too much, except as an interesting thing.
So the whole part, you know, they didn't have, like, space travel, and that doesn't... You know, I'm kind of okay with that, you know. But, you know, for an advanced race, they're still pretty actually racist, yeah?
Oh, extremely so.
Right, they're not, like, I mean, it's an economic racism.
Right.
Right? It's based on a caste structure.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, they're advanced technologically speaking, but not really in terms of, you know, civil rights and things like that.
Right, right. But, yeah, but as we kind of mentioned earlier in the podcast, I'm enjoying this quite a bit, and certainly a lot more than the various Netflix Marvel TV shows, which is beginning to grate on me more and more with each season.
I tried to watch Jessica Jones.
Season one? Season two?
No, I saw season one. Oh, okay. I made it through season one.
Okay, I didn't.
I tried to watch season two because people said it was so awesome, and okay. I tried to watch it, and I can't. Pretty sure I didn't make it through episode one. If I did make it through, I definitely didn't make it through season two. I was just like, I couldn't make it through Punisher.
Yeah, me too.
I tried.
I couldn't get past episode one. I couldn't get past episode one at all.
I made it through a few episodes and I just stopped. I was like, oh man. You know, I mean, is Luke Cage going to be the only good one left in Defenders?
I'm trying to think.
That's so bad.
I guess so, right? That's all there is.
And what's sad is Jeff Loeb or Jeff Leb.
Yeah,
I don't know how to pronounce his last name. He was one of the guys in Smallville.
Yeah,
he helped. He was one of the showrunners in Smallville. I'm like,
yeah, he did an excellent job too.
And he's one of the best comic book writers around.
Yeah,
he's awesome. And I'm like,
so how did they mess it up?
I don't know. I don't know who else over there at Marvel TV.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. better than the Netflix one.
Hey, welcome back.
I mean, if I have to, as long as there's Ghost Rider. As long as there's Ghost Rider, I mean, the Welcome Ghost Rider back. Episodes were the best.
Well, you know, Agent Coulson's going to be in Infinity War, so.
Goody for him.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, okay, now, not exactly the TV show, but something that I think bothers both of us. Everybody in Krypton has a British accent.
Yeah,
what's up with that? I mean, you know, I guess the practical answer is, well, they're filming it somewhere in Great Britain. Okay, but why do they... Except for Adam Strange. He's an American. He has a... What does he have? A Tigers baseball cap?
Which, yeah, I didn't know he was from Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah, I never knew that, too. Actually, they never really specified where Adam Strange is from, I think. But, so Adam Strange is the only one with an American accent I can think of. The rest have all some version of a British accent. It kind of bothered me at first, but then I think... Everybody in the Superman films also from Krypton had a British accent. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I know the Donner film.
Yeah.
Yeah, not in the Man of Steel. Man of Steel had mixed accents. Some people had had a British sounding accent. Others had just a regular accent.
Yeah, except Marlon Brando, because he doesn't do accents. But no. he doesn't need to.
He's Marlon Brando.
He does whatever he wants. Yeah. And so, you know, it bothered me at first, and then I just said, it's fine. You know, why are they speaking English, right? That's an even bigger question.
And how come Adam Strange and everyone else can communicate with one another?
Yeah. Did they ever explain that?
No, I don't think so. I didn't catch it. If they explained it, I didn't catch it.
Yeah, okay, I didn't catch it either.
But, I mean, he does have access to Rannian technology, so...
Yeah.
Maybe he has a translator.
Good point. What do they speak on Ran? I don't know.
Ranian.
I guess so. So you right? think Thanagar is going to show up in the Krypton TV show? I hope so.
I hope so. I hope Tamaran. I hope the Citadel. I hope Kuns, the Kundians.
Yeah.
I hope Dominators. I mean, I really hope other races start to show up somehow. You know, I mean, if Adam Strange is there, definitely Ran could.
Yeah.
And Thanagar,
not a race, right? other alien entities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, critters. I hope Thanagar for sure.
Yeah.
I hope Daxam, because they're supposed to be related to Kryptonians.
Somehow.
You know? Yeah, somehow. I don't know how.
Although they're different enough that they have different weaknesses, you know, lead yeah. versus kryptonite.
But I would definitely love to see Hawk people. Definitely okay. would love to see Hawk people.
Okay, I know you've got a hard out in a couple of minutes. A couple of things I wanted to mention and get your take on. I really liked a lot of the references to, like, the Fortress of Solitude and to the costume the grandfather wears. I mean, not yes. Segel, but Segel's grandfather with the red cape and the blue suit and everything. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was good.
Awesome. And the reference to Black Zero, which I thought was a person, not a group, but I could be mistaken.
I remember it being a person, terrorist organization.
Okay, you remember it being multiple people. Okay, I thought it was just one person, but okay.
And they're the ones that eventually caused the destruction of Krypton in the John Byrne reboot.
Okay. So I liked all of those references. I'm trying to think if there are any other references that I thought I may have caught.
Well, they talk about the Jewel Mountains.
Oh, did they? Yeah, you're right.
But you don't see it.
Right. And are there rainbow falls or fire falls or something like that in the...
There's fire falls.
The pre-crisis Krypton, at least.
Right. There's the golden volcano.
Right.
Volcanoes. I hope we see all of that. I want to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Now, you know, the other thing pre-crisis, you know, I'm going to contradict myself. So, you know, I was mentioning earlier that, you know, I was kind of shocked that such an advanced civilization had no space travel. But really, they did have a space travel. It just wasn't very advanced. It was kind of like us. You know, they could get to the moon, remember? Because didn't General Zod, like, blow up their moon or something?
Yeah, there's, like, the destruction of the moon.
Yeah, and a colony there. So they did have some limited space travel in the sense that we have limited space travel on Earth.
We
can get to the moon and back, and that's pretty much it.
I don't remember the reason, but you're correct. Like, Jor-El had the most advanced spaceship that they had.
Right. He had, like, a warp drive.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with, like, with his brother. What was his brother? Jor-El?
Jor-El, yeah. Kara's father.
Yeah, Kara's father. So Jor-El also had more advanced spaceship technology. But it's weird. It's like they never were into... They just didn't want to... It's like they didn't want to explore the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just like to hang out at Krypton, and Krypton's great, and we're awesome.
And yet, they knew enough about Earth to send Superman to Earth.
Yes, weird, yeah.
Right?
At least Man of Steel explained it.
So, Smallville did too.
Yes.
Yeah, Smallville, Zor-El actually visited Earth as a young man.
Yeah, Jor-El did.
Yeah, and met Ma and Pa Kent as young people.
So that explained it. But in the old continuity, Silver Age, right?
Right.
Wasn't it that Jor-El had the super telescope?
Yes, he did.
And he saw, like, Earth, and they were similar to the Kryptonians, but they were primitive. So he thought, like, Kal-El could, like, survive there with the yellow sun and everything.
Right.
And he'd be able to, you know, blend in, but still he wouldn't be, you know, at risk because of his powers.
Yeah.
He had, like, that super telescope. I remember that.
Yes, I remember that, too.
Yeah, Judy Swartz had all these, you know, those old creators had all these, you know, really funky
things. I don't know if it accounted for, you know, how many light years away they are, and they'd be looking at the past, and I forget all that stuff. But, yeah, it was pretty, you know, as a kid, as a little kid, it was plausible to me.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Okay.
I was like, wow.
We are
you can have a super telescope, but you can't have a super spaceship.
Right. Or spaceship. Yeah. You can see little tiny people on other worlds, but you can't get there.
Yeah, it's whatever. But hey, that's comics, right?
Yeah.
That's what makes comics fun.
Yeah. Okay, so before I forget and let you go, I know you got a hard out in like 1 minute. Action Comics number 1000 is coming up. I think I pre-ordered it on Comixology. If not, I will.
I put it on my pull list, so we'll see if Other Realms remembers.
Okay. Is that Michael Bendis's first issue, or is that 1001 will be his first issue? I can't.
He does write in.
I believe. Is that like an anthology, right?
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of different creators.
Yeah, yeah. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to that.
Trunks come back.
Trunks are back, baby. Red trunks are cool. We all got to wear red trunks. No, I don't think so. That would be weird. But it's cool on Superman. He's the only guy who can pull it off, right? I mean, you know, really.
Yeah, to be honest. It doesn't even look, to be honest, really, it doesn't even look good on Batman. No. It just looks silly.
The blue trunks. Yeah. That's, but yeah, you know, and one of these days we'll go talk about the whole trunks thing and why, you know, Schuster and Siegel decided to go with trunks. And it's kind of an interesting story, I think. But
sure.
Anytime.
That'll be the next topic.
Anyway, there's a whole bunch of stuff coming up. I know I bought a couple of comic books. Avengers Infinity Wars is coming up. So Jay and I would be, you know, depending on his availability this summer, he's a busy guy. We'll definitely get around talking about these things sometime in the future. All right, Jay, I know you got to go. So I am going to bring Podcast 97 to an end, and we'll talk to you next time.
Okay.